The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Tonight's game one of the NBA Finals. Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo has been upgraded from doubtful to questionable on this afternoon's injury report. Welcome into the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Myron Metcalf and Alyssa Lang here with you, filling in for Max. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests joining us throughout the show here on the Goodyear Hotline. Myron, the first time we get to do a show together, and we've got some breaking news right off the top. I know you are excited for this game one. We got a little bit of gamesmanship maybe on our hands with this Giannis announcement. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know what to make of it. You know, as a Milwaukee Bucks guy and a Milwaukee native, I'd love to see Giannis play. And maybe this suggests that we're going to see him earlier than expected. But Alyssa, I also kind of think that this is gamesmanship. I think this is Coach Bud trying to plant the seed in the Phoenix Suns' ear that, hey, maybe you'll see Giannis, maybe not. But I don't think we'll see him play. I think this is just sort of a strategic move, a smart move. But I still don't think Giannis is going to be there in game one.
Of course, Giannis has missed Milwaukee's last two games with a hyperextended left knee, and that's a weird injury because depending on how severe it is, obviously depends on how long it takes you to recover from something like that, but that's going to be the biggest question going into tonight's game one and over the next several games, however long this series goes. Is Giannis going to play? When will he play? And what percentage will he be at, if not 100%? We've been talking about this all day, and there's so many things, Myron, to consider when it comes to what this Bucks team's going to look like. It's time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. What do you think happens? Before we get into all the scenarios, what do you anticipate happening now over the next week or two?
I still don't think we see Giannis until game three. That's been my thought going into this. Now, granted, if the Bucks are down 2-0, will we see him at all? But I don't know that we're going to see him early, because here's the question. This is a guy who's going into his 5-year supermax that starts next year. This is a $250 million man. This is a two-time MVP. If you're the Bucks, yes, you want to see Giannis play right now. You have a chance to win your first championship in my lifetime. But at the same time, you've seen Kevin Durant. You've seen other guys who've come back, kind of forced the issue, and it wasn't a good decision. They cannot squander the best Giannis years, Alyssa, just because they want to try to get this win in the finals. I know it's tempting to do that, but they got to look at things long term, and I hope they do that. At the same time, I'm like, what if Giannis says, I'm going to play and nobody can stop me, Alyssa? Can they stop him from doing that?
I don't think so. Not when you're Giannis, not when you are the star of this team and this is the NBA Finals and you haven't won a championship since the 1970s. Like, no, I don't think you can tell Giannis, yeah, you got to sit on the bench tonight, buddy. If he wants to play, he's going to play. And yesterday, head coach Mike Budenholzer said that he was able to do some on-court work separate from the team's afternoon practice. He said he had a good day and he was making good progress. But of course, you're not going to give too much away depending on how he's feeling, good or bad, going into the finals. Now, let me ask you this. How important would tonight's game one be if the Bucks could squeak out a win and get this thing moving in the right direction, especially if Giannis isn't able to play tonight?
Changes everything. Because if you can steal one here without Giannis, now to me that buys you a little more time if Giannis needs it. And I think it also changes the tone of the series. You take game one, you have the automatic edge. And if you do that without Giannis, you know you're the better team and you have a real chance to win, even if he can't come back. Now, the other flip side of that is, what if they go down 2-0 and Giannis maybe isn't 100%? What do you do then? Like, my challenge on Giannis being questionable here is you have to allow Giannis to play the way that he plays before you put him back out there, Alyssa. This is a guy who crashes into the lane, goes hard every play, plays both ends of the floor. He is aggressive every time he's out there. And if he's not 100% or close to 100%, I don't think you can play Giannis because it's just too dangerous for that knee. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I'd love to see the Bucks get game one and change the whole tone of this series.
I know Bucks fans are stressed right now, but Phoenix fans probably on the other side are sitting here like, how do we even game plan for this team? Because let's be honest, Giannis is the reason that Milwaukee is here in the finals. But as you said, even if he's able to play, it's a good chance that he'll be limited. That being said, in the games that we didn't see Giannis, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday really stepped up and carried that load and got them here. They had to finish that season, or that series, excuse me, obviously against Atlanta. If Giannis is on the floor and he's only 75%, does that concern you? Do you want him out there? Would you rather him get pulled knowing that the team was able to win without him?
You know, I mean, as a fan and supporter, like if Giannis feels like he's good to go and he can contribute and he's healthy, you want to put him out there. But I still think it's a great risk just because of the way he plays. This isn't a guy that you can put in this series a list and say, okay, you're going to stand on the perimeter, take threes. We're going to set a bunch of screens for you. We're going to try to make the game easy on you. Like, Giannis has to be a guy with the ball in his hands who drives to the rim, gets fouled, he's aggressive. And that's where 75% would concern me, because he only knows how to play at one speed, and that knee has to be able to support that. At the same time, I don't think the Bucks can beat the Suns in a 7-game series if Giannis isn't at least 85-90%. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where he's going to be, what his status is, but that to me is the great X factor going into these next couple of games. They need Giannis, but they need Giannis to be able to play the way he's used to playing.
And if they don't have Giannis, they need Chris Middleton to do what he's been doing, certainly in the postseason. Like we said, he has had to carry the load at times offensively. And we saw that in Game 6 against the Hawks. He scored 30-plus points for the fourth time this postseason. He talked leading into the finals about how his team's been able to adjust without their star.
When Giannis is out there, a lot of times we could just give him the ball and let him go to work and, you know, let him orchestrate a lot of things out there. Without him, we have to do it by committee, moving the ball around, driving it a little bit more, playing just a little bit faster with a little bit of different flow. But, you know, I think guys have done a great job of adjusting with him not out there in, you know, two of the most important games of our season.
We know what this team looks like with Giannis. We know what they look like without him. But the question is, how will they look in the finals with or without him? A lot of questions. As we said, he was upgraded to questionable per the Milwaukee Bucks going into Game 1 tonight. Let's talk about Phoenix, though, because, Myron, you mentioned this. We said it at the top of the show. This announcement of his upgrading status could be a little bit of gamesmanship to throw Phoenix off a little bit. How are they adjusting? How are they going into this game one thinking, all right, we could see him. We might not. We don't know.
I think they got to prepare for Giannis, right? I think everything that Monty Williams is telling his team right now is, listen, we're going to plan as if Giannis is playing. DeAndre Ayton, get ready, because he's going to be out there. And then you hope that you're pleasantly surprised if he's unavailable. But I also think this makes it feel like the Suns have to win this series, because either you're playing a Bucks team that doesn't have Giannis, or you're playing a Bucks team that doesn't have Giannis at 100%. So for me, if you're Chris Paul, and they've already written the 30 for 30 about Chris Paul, everybody assumes he's going to win this championship, and they're just waiting to finish the movie that they're going to release here in a couple months about him. He has to get a championship here, because to me, Alyssa, if he doesn't, as many times as he's had opportunities, he's made runs, he's been hurt. If Chris Paul doesn't get a ring now against this Bucks team, what does that mean for his legacy?
It makes me sweat thinking about the conversation, because right? He's one of those players that you talk about being some of the greatest of all time. But when you have those conversations, like, I'm picturing myself 15, 20 years from now sitting at my kitchen table with like my 10-year-old going, well, who's the best of the best? And they're going to be like, well, how many rings did they win?
Exactly.
That's how you determine that. Doesn't matter what sport, football, basketball, it's how many rings did you win? How many championships did you win? And right now, Chris Paul has all the other numbers to his resume, but is waiting on that ring. So to your point, I'm excited for this series just because how cool of a story would it be for Chris Paul to finally kind of cement that and say, I did it. I made it to the top. He was selected to the All-Star team 11 times prior to this first finals appearance. But, you know, he's not thinking about any of that right now. It's all about the finals. And he shared some of his thoughts going into tonight's game one.
It's still basketball. I think we all locked into, you know, the goal at hand. And I think for us, it's balance. And whatever it is, you know, you always got to remember, this is a kid's game that we play. You know what I mean? So this is a blessing and an opportunity to play this game. So there's balance. You know, I think our team knows when to lock in and when we got to enjoy the moment and enjoy ourselves.
You know, throughout the postseason, Myron, at least I was kind of holding my breath like, okay, we don't want to see any injuries for Chris Paul. Like, make it. If you're going to make it, he needs to make it to the end. And then he drops 41 points to help send the Suns to the finals. And it feels like he is playing some of the best basketball that we've seen from him so far. Is he by far for you the one player that this is the most important for out on the floor? Because we talk about Giannis versus CP, and obviously that's going to be the big conversation. But Giannis has a long career ahead of them, and Chris Paul's a little bit older than Giannis is at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely more important for Chris Paul. I mean, people talk about Giannis like he's 33 or something like that. He's 26. His Supermax doesn't even kick in until next year. This is a guy who's going into the prime of his career, and he's already got two MVPs. So you'd like to see Giannis get it, especially knowing that the Brooklyn Nets are going to be healthy. The East will be more difficult to navigate, but I think he'll get other chances. This is it for Chris Paul. And here's the bottom line. We don't care about athletes who don't win championships long term. And we can say otherwise, but there's no proof of that. Like, to me, if Chris Paul wins a championship, he's going to be right behind Magic Johnson as the number two point guard of all time. If he doesn't win a championship, he'll just be one of the other good point guards, great point guards who's come through the NBA but didn't get a ring. And that's just a different class. That's not necessarily fair because the credentials, the skill, the talent of Chris Paul, he makes everybody better. He's clearly one of the greats, but you need a ring to solidify that. And it feels like the door has just opened up even more for CP to get that. Giannis, even if he comes back, I think we all agree that he's not going to be 100%. And if you get the Bucks without 100% Giannis and you can't beat that team, then what does that mean for your legacy? I think CP has to get a ring here to feel like he's one of the greatest of all time and to be somebody that we're talking about 20 years from now.
He has 123 playoff starts, the most in NBA history before a player's first finals game. But like we said, all eyes ahead on game one. That segment brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Time now to go out to the Goodyear Hotline where we find our friend Mark Spears, ESPN's NBA analyst and finals reporter. Mark, thanks for joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show. Obviously, we've been talking about the announcement that Giannis has been upgraded to questionable for tonight's game one. What do you make of that news?
Oh, that's tremendous news for the Bucks, you know, because if there's one person that I don't think the Suns have anyone to match up with, it's Giannis. But what will Giannis be? Who knows? I mean, there was some talk that had this series made it to a game seven, which would have been this past Sunday, that Giannis would have played. And obviously, I think the Bucks have been a little certainly close to the vest and revealing where he is and what he is and perhaps the reason why they oddly flew back to Milwaukee instead of coming straight to Phoenix after knocking off Atlanta was maybe to get him some more treatment. But I don't know what to expect, but perhaps because he's a little bit he got a few more days to get right that we'll see at least a decent Giannis is better than no Giannis, right?
Very true, Mark. But if he is not at 100%, how does that affect this series and what Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday have to do for the Bucks?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Against the Hawks, they play great basketball without him. They move the ball more. You saw Brooke Lopez get the ball in the post. Chris Middleton is an elite player who, if he wasn't such a soft-spoken guy, I think we would be talking about him more. And he deserves to be talked about more. And perhaps what Perk says is true, that he is the best player on their team, although, you know, Giannis is the flashiest, obviously. But I think you try him. And if he looks like Trae Young looked in terms of physically the last game, I think you take him out. You try it and see how it goes, and if it doesn't look good, take him out, because it could end up being at the detriment of the team more than a positive if he's moving bad.
Mark Spears joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN NBA analyst ahead of Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight. Mark, how much do you look back at that regular season matchup? The Suns won both of those games by a combined 2 points. Do you take anything from that matchup into game one tonight?
Nah. like none at all. And then Giannis didn't play in one of them, right? Didn't Torrey Craig play for the Bucks in one of them. Like, yeah. Now he's with the Suns. Yeah, what happened in the regular season is what happened in the regular season. I do think these Suns are certainly much more confident and strong in their belief of being super than they were at that time. They've grown a lot in these playoffs, beating the Lakers, beating the Clippers, sweeping the Nuggets. This is a different team than in the regular season. And if Giannis doesn't play, obviously the Bucks are a different team. So, I don't take anything from the regular season games other than they may have a better idea on what, like, restaurants to go to in each city.
Hey, I like that.
Mark, my theory is that 20 years from now, if CP doesn't get a ring, we won't remember him. We won't talk about him as one of the greats. What do you think about that?
I love you. I've known you a long time.
Yeah.
I totally disagree. I think Chris has his legacy is set when they do the 75-year anniversary next year and name the top players. He'll be there. He'll be one of the greatest point guards of all time. Karl Malone, John Stockton, Charles Barkley, they all don't have titles, but there's certainly reverence for what they brought to the NBA and what they did. So I definitely think that it will put a cherry on top of what is going to be a Hall of Fame career. Does it maybe give him a knock against the Magics and Isaiah Thomases of the world? I could see maybe that, well, that's what he didn't have. But I still believe right now you can make an argument that he's in the top five point guards of all time without a ring. And maybe I'm too close to it because I've seen him since birth into this league and seen how much he's grown and what he's done. And I also think that what he does is extremely underrated. Like, think about it. The Suns are in the finals.
Yeah.
Like, that's just craziness to me. And to me, he was the MVP of the league. Not because he didn't score 30 a game, but because he brought these young guys, a 24-year-old shooting guard, a very young center, to a place that perhaps before the season you would have never, if you would have said they would have never reached that moment, you wouldn't have blinked an eye. So, you my boy, though. I love you. But, I think he's solidified. I actually think getting to the finals, at least making it to the finals, shuts a lot of things down in terms of criticism of him. Like, what happens is what happens, but, like, he at least has made it to a final.
Mark Spears joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Alyssa Lang, Myron Metcalf here with you. Mark, before we let you go, I'm curious, as a basketball fan, looking at these two fan bases and the droughts that they have experienced over the last several is an understatement years, who would this be bigger for? Which fan base do you think would relish a championship more this year?
Wow. You got to say it's tough because at least Milwaukee has one. It might have dust on it, right? But they do have one. And I would guess for most of their fans, it wasn't in their lifetime. I just probably say Milwaukee because it was just so long ago, and they've been expecting this for a couple years now, whereas Phoenix, it's like, whoa, we hit the lottery. You know what I mean? Like, none of their fans expected this fast or at all. So, yeah, either way, I expect there to be tears. I mean, if you saw how the Suns fans celebrated after just winning the West Finals, you thought they had won the championship. But for Bucks fans, man, it's almost like in the same territory as the Cubs or when I saw the Warriors get their first one in years. I think there'll be a lot of emotion there and some good feelings towards them doing something amazing with Giannis or actually maybe without him.
Going to be a lot of emotions on either side, no matter what ends up happening. Mark Spears, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Enjoy the finals.
You still love me, Myron?
Hey, man, we're still cool. We're still cool.
All right, bro. Y'all take care.
We had to make sure we mended that before he went off the air with us. We don't want to start anything here filling in on the Max Kellerman Show. Of course, the NBA Finals do start tonight, and you can listen right here on ESPN Radio. Don't miss Game 1. Bucks-Suns coverage starts 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, we're going to talk plenty more about the NBA Finals. Myron Metcalf, Alyssa Lang here with you filling in on the Max Kellerman Show. But coming up next, we're talking Aaron Rodgers. He's got a golf match going down this afternoon, but there's plenty to unpack when it comes to his future, whether it's with the Green Bay Packers or with another team. That's coming up next right here on ESPN Radio. And the football offseason is always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Aaron Rodgers spoke on Monday saying that he's been taking some steps to improve and preserve his mental health amid everything going on in his life and, of course, very publicly with his employer. You're listening to the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Myron Metcalf, Alyssa Lang here with you, filling in for Max. Of course, we spent the first segment talking about the NBA Finals, Game 1 going down tonight. Do the Bucks have a chance without Giannis? Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's unpack what Aaron Rodgers said on Monday, Myron, talking about mental health, something that has become very important to him over the last couple of months. He even used a proverb during this press conference saying, sometimes the loudest person in the room is not the smartest person. Sometimes the loudest person is not the person who has all the facts on their side or the truth on their side. Sometimes there's a lot of wisdom in silence. Myron, what do you make of Aaron Rodgers talking to the media about all this yesterday?
Well, he just doesn't sound like a guy who has any interest in playing for the Green Bay Packers, and that should concern every single Packers fan. I mean, it's got to be a problem for a fan when your MVP quarterback is focused on hosting Jeopardy and playing golf in the offseason, but hasn't said a whole lot about actually playing football. I think it's a bad sign for the Packers. I don't see Aaron Rodgers going back.
Yeah, you mentioned playing golf, which is something that he will be doing this afternoon with his good friend Tom Brady, rival in the league. Here's exactly what Aaron Rodgers did say on Monday, talking about focusing on his mental health.
Sometimes the loudest person in the room is not the smartest person. Sometimes the loudest person in the room is not the person who has all the facts on their side or the truth on their side. This offseason, I've spent a lot of time working on myself. I think for a long time, mental health has been only an okay topic to broach if you're talking about dealing with bouts of depression, but there's not a lot of conversation around just the idea of having a very positive mental health state. I've just been really trying to think about what puts me in the best frame of mind, what habits can I form that allow me to feel most in my body, most present, happiest. And that's what I've been doing. The mental side of it is so important for all of us athletes. I don't think it's talked about enough, but taking time to work on yourself is, I think, the best gift that any of us can give ourselves.
Myron, you talked about Packers fans being a little stressed out. Well, they have been over the last several weeks. Of course, Aaron Rodgers did not participate in the team's mandatory minicamp. He missed the offseason program, and it feels like nobody's really heard from him as far as an interest in remaining a part of the Green Bay Packers organization. How do you think this plays out now with not too far to go until the regular season picks up again?
I mean, Elizabeth, let's just be real. This is a divorce, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, now not just sleeping in separate rooms now, right? He's got his own apartment on the other side of town. This breakup is for real. And at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is talking about preserving his mental health. And you know what he's also saying, Alyssa? I'm able to do that because I'm staying far away from the franchise that caused all this drama. You can call Aaron Rodgers a diva for being upset about the way that they picked Jordan Love and didn't inform him. But the reality is, this is a dude who's an MVP in this league. He knows he's the best chance for the Green Bay Packers to get to the Super Bowl, and he has a front office that's arrogant enough to act as if that's not the reality. And that's why Packers fans, and I grew up in Wisconsin with a family full of them, that's a spoiled fan base that's going to learn the hard way what it's like to not have back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You don't treat a Hall of Fame MVP-level quarterback the way that the Packers have thus far. And they're going to learn the hard way. I just don't think, Alyssa, that there's any way for him to go back into that locker room, back into that front office, and have a sit down with them. And now he's back playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. It feels like a trade is the only thing that can move this situation forward.
Yeah, I've seen nothing to indicate anything that makes me feel like, okay, yeah, maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's an opportunity for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to mend this. It's now for me, as I think about this situation, who's the best fit for Aaron Rodgers moving forward? And you use the word divorce. It's true. And this is messy. It's been messy for the last year and a half, like you said, since that draft when the Packers selected Jordan Love. And there was all sorts of back and forth about how that process went down. Did Aaron know he needed weapons? He looked for more help and he didn't get it until later. So then you look at what happened last year and the way Aaron Rodgers went out and performed last season. Yeah, he's got all of the cards in his hands at this point. And what makes it even better for me is off-season Aaron Rodgers has been so entertaining. From the story of him getting engaged, you mentioned Jeopardy. It's almost like he's sitting back here like, we've broken up. Now I'm showing you that I am so fly without you. I don't need you. It's hot girl summer for Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'm hosting Jeopardy. I can do whatever the heck I want at this point. Oh, and then probably go try to win a championship for another team who might care about me. I don't know. Like, I kind of love watching it unfold, but I do feel bad, like you said, for Packers fans who are going to be big stressed over the next couple months.
Oh, he's definitely sending a selfie to Matt LaFleur today from the golf course.
Snapchat. I mean,
he's definitely getting
suns out, guns out.
He's definitely getting that from Aaron Rodgers today. And this is what happens when you don't realize that you have a good thing. Like, to me, the spoiled element of it is the Packers believing that they can just move forward. You always have to plan for the future. But Alyssa, who are the teams that have moved on from an MVP quarterback? Yes, the 49ers moved on from Joe Montana, but Steve Young was there. The Colts moved on from Peyton Manning after multiple injuries, but they had Andrew Luck, who by all accounts was a generational talent. Like, nobody has an MVP quarterback and says, yeah, it's time to move on to Jordan Love, who, nothing against Jordan Love, but that ain't Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And there's no comparison between the two. So I think this is just what the Packers deserve. If you're not going to put yourself in a position to make Aaron Rodgers happy and he's the key to your Super Bowl hopes, well, look forward to a life as a Bears fan or a Lions fan or a Vikings fan or all the other fan bases that have been dealing with this for 20 or 30 years.
Revolving door of quarterbacks. I can say that as a lifelong New York Jets fan. Shout out. We've already seen some drama on Twitter today. And by drama, I mean things that we can laugh at. Some riffs between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And we mentioned they're playing golf today. That foursome, the match starting at 5:30. Do you think between all of these hot microphones and Charles Barkley being out there that Tom Brady's going to be like, come on, Aaron, like, what's life been like for you? Where are you going to be in the fall?
Alyssa, we might get to the point with Charles Barkley and Tom Brady where they are actively sending Aaron Rodgers to talking about actual trade requests. Like, would you go to Denver? What do you think about that?
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I'm just waiting for Tom to be like, you know, Tampa's pretty nice, Aaron. We can make room for you on the bench. You can back me up, because you know Tom, especially with how petty he's been lately, would not be able to resist zinging on him like that. I'm very excited for that at 5:30. I'm sure we're going to learn a lot more about Aaron Rodgers and where his mindset is during that golf game this afternoon. All right. Baseball is putting on a show right now. We might be seeing the best show in a long time, but is it getting enough attention? We're going to break that down coming up next here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I wish sports fans understood the ridiculousness of what Ohtani's doing right now.
What the hell is the dude doing leading the league? Not just in home runs. He's leading the league in triples.
And he is on pace to hit 55 home runs.
What Shohei Ohtani has been doing is insane. Yesterday was his birthday. He's headed to the All-Star game, where he was selected to pitch and hit. Casual, first player ever to be selected to do that. We will get into that in just a moment. This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Myron Metcalf, Alyssa Lang here with you, filling in for Max. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Before we get back into baseball, we've got a Woj bomb. Myron, are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the first time I think I've ever gotten to read a Woj bomb on the air, so this is a very exciting moment for me personally. Woj just tweeted out a few minutes ago that Giannis has continued around-the-clock treatment on his left knee with hopes of becoming clear to play Game 1 of the Finals versus Phoenix tonight. There's expected to be a game-time decision on his availability. So in case you needed any more allure for this Game 1 tonight, going down 9 o'clock ABC, now we're going to be counting down the seconds to that game time decision. Are you just more excited now, Myron?
I'm way more excited, and I don't believe anything about a game time decision. A decision has already been made. Clearly, Giannis is going to play. But here's my question, Alyssa. Is this a Giannis who's close to 100%, or is this one of those test you out games? Because to me, if it's a let's see how he feels, that doesn't mean anything for this series. So I'm wondering how he looks when he gets out there if he plays.
Phoenix is sitting there like, are you kidding me right now? We've got to prepare for all these scenarios. It's like Doctor Strange in Endgame, like looking at all the future ways that things could go wrong or right. That's going to be fun. I am very much looking forward to seeing whether or not Giannis is out there, as is the rest of the entire world. It's time now for Progressive MLB Snapshot. Let's go back to Shohei Ohtani, the first player to be selected as a pitcher and position player in the All-Star game coming up at Coors Field in Denver. When you look at what Shohei has been able to do so far this year, all the home runs, everything, even before his Major League Baseball career. We were just talking in the break about the video that's been circling around of him hitting a baseball through the roof of a dome in Japan was insane. When you look at him as a player, why is he so important to you, to the game of baseball and growing that audience moving forward?
Well, like, you know, I talk to a lot of baseball people. And the thing about baseball people, Alyssa, as you know, is like they're not easily impressed. They've seen really great players over the history of this game. So it's hard to make them say, oh, this is a legendary performance. Like, you just don't hear that a lot in baseball. So when I hear smart baseball people saying, this is one of the greatest things we've ever seen, and you're talking about a player who's from another country, it feels like he could become the face of the sport and the face of the sport for the next generation. Like, what he's doing to me is the most impressive thing that's happening in sports. This to me is like if LeBron James were also leading the NBA in three-point shooting. It's just a special performance, and I hope people are paying attention.
Could you imagine? I mean, if LeBron could do something like that, that would just be like you putting it into that perspective is like, wow. Okay, yeah, that is insane. 31 home runs. He'd already been elected by the fans to start for the AL as the at-designated hitter. So I am just more intrigued by this All-Star game here coming up in just a couple of days. But now it's kind of sparked the question, trying to compare him as a player and trying to compare his career to some of the previous greats that we have seen. And one of the questions is, Myron, is he one of the best stories, one of the best shows in Major League Baseball since Babe Ruth?
That seems to be the question. And when smart people in this game are saying that that's not far-fetched, that's what makes me think about it.
Yeah. I mean, Babe Ruth, obviously, you literally have to be living under a rock to not know what he did in his career. So, I mean, that's huge to make that comparison. Of course, Jeff Passan all over Major League Baseball here at ESPN compared what Ohtani is doing to maybe someone else other than Babe Ruth.
I wish sports fans understood, like, the ridiculousness of what Ohtani's doing right now. It's like he's playing two completely different games at an absolutely elite level. I mean, it's, you know, we sit here and talk about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth didn't really hit and pitch full-time for very long the way that Ohtani's doing right now. I think the better comparison would be like Bo Jackson, you know, somebody who played two sports at an elite level. That's what Ohtani's doing right now because, you know, pitching and hitting are part of the same sport, but they are completely different things.
Yeah, I always think of the double sport athletes, and of course Michael Jordan always comes to mind, certainly with the baseball career and the basketball career. But knowing that Ohtani is only 27 years old and he just turned 27 yesterday, Myron, I mean, this is such a great sign for the game of baseball. But do you feel like people maybe aren't making a big enough deal about this?
I mean, I feel like more people should know about this. And I think that's what baseball has to kind of ask itself is, do enough people know about Ohtani? Why isn't this a bigger story? It should be. And I think a home run derby performance is going to elevate his profile even more. But baseball has to do its part in promoting this story because it's incredible.
Very excited for the All-Star Game coming up at Coors Field. You're listening to the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. today. You'll also see Shohei Ohtani on display tonight. Red Sox Angels 9:38. Of course, Ohtani and Major League Baseball leading 31 homers this season. We're sure he'll continue the web gems in that game tonight. You're listening to the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.